the book of Samuel, the first book, and we will read the story there of Hannah and her experience and her prayer. 1 Samuel and chapter 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me and not forget thy maidservant, but will give to thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. How long will you be drunken? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman sorely troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your maidservant as a base woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have made to him. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. May God bless to us, help us to understand and learn from his word. Two weeks ago, I understand that John Urquhart was speaking in the morning service on the subject of consecration and sanctification. And last week, Martin Allen was speaking from First Peter, on Christian growth, or Second Peter would be, Christian growth and growth in Christian character. And today, following on from that, I thought we'd take a look at prayer and see if we are growing in prayer. Maybe if there are some hints in the Bible that would help us in our prayer life. Have you ever prayed and felt that you were just getting nowhere? I expect you have. It's really a very common experience. Have you ever asked yourself, how can my prayers be more effective? How can I pray in an effective way? It's a big question, I know, take a big answer, but we can just glimpse at it this morning. This is a real question, and I'm sure we all ask it in real sincerity. But I think we need to pause just before we even go into various parts of Scripture and ask ourselves, what is it we're really asking? Are we asking ourselves, what can I do that will make God listen? What will I do that will make God do the things that I think he ought to be doing? Now, if we begin to talk like that, are we beginning to see that we could be asking that very question in a way that shows we really want to manipulate God? We want God to do what we think, what we want, because that's the way we see is the best thing for ourselves, for others, for our family, for the world situation, for the national situation. God has promised to listen. He has promised to hear us. Yes, there are certain conditions, and we'll look at those in a moment. But we want to come and get our prayer life into line with those promises of God so that we are effective in prayer. I'm sure some of you have given up on prayer. Some of you, I'm sure, in a congregation this size, have given up a long time ago. Yes, you may have some wishful thinking. You may wish that God would hear you. But in real practical terms, you have given up on prayer. Because you're not sure it would happen anyway, even if you did pray. And there's that feeling that God's going to do what he wants, no matter what we say. And there's an element of truth in that too. We have the example of Hannah's prayer, which we'll look at in a little more detail in a moment. But also there are a few other verses. I want to read one or two out that might be giving us a clue on this matter of being heard, being listened to, being effective in prayer. Those are the very words that the Bible uses and wants us to think about. In Isaiah, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." What's the implication there? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his evil thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is a way to come to God for mercy and for pardon that he is waiting to give us. We can ask for those things. But there's a clue here. There's a warning here. Seek him while he may be found. Then we have a warning, maybe, in the Proverbs. Proverbs, there's lots of interesting advice. And here are some words. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently and will not find me. Now, we've just been told in the Isaiah passage to seek the Lord while he is near, and he will be found. But they will call and I will not answer. They will seek me, and will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and their own devices. But he who listens to me will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of harm. He who listens to God. And why was he not answering? Because they didn't read the word. They didn't want to know what God wanted. They were only interested in telling God what they wanted. Now we're beginning to get the picture of prayer. And I think we have to be careful that we don't think, well, God's a God of mercy and love. He'll always be there. He'll always be there. Sooner or later, I'll go to him. I'll leave it till later. Is that our thought sometimes? Here we have an urgency that is driving us, surely, at least in the story of Hannah, an urgency upon her heart that drove her to prayer to see if she could get through to God. If we leave it till later, we will lose sensitivity. Our ears will become dull, and we won't hear his voice and way. Our eyes will become dim, and we won't see the light that he shows to us. So, the question we started with, does God listen to our prayers? What about Hannah? We see in this story of Hannah, indeed, that it's a woman who is driven to prayer. She cries to God. She weeps before God. She cries because she was mocked. She was having a difficult time in life. Is that why God allows difficulties? To bring us back to Himself? Well, we struggle on. We try our best. But she cried. She prayed to God. She prayed. She didn't bottle it all up. She was going to get through to God somehow and tell Him her burden. But she also trusts in God in that story. She trusts in Him. We're not just talking to ourselves. She really believed that when she went to that special place at the temple, at that special time of the year, as she offered her sacrifices to God, as she really did everything she thought was right, she came to God and she put her case, her cause, her need before God with tears, with faith, and she received. Now that is basically the summary of this story. And she then responds by dedicating her son back to God. The most precious thing in her life she gave back to God. It's a very moving story. But it's also a little troubling. I wonder if you noticed the repetition of one phrase. It's in verse 5 and in verse 6. Starts off at the beginning of the verse, although he loved Hannah, that's referring to Elkanah, her husband, he would give Hannah only one portion because the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her sorely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. Now, when you read this story, in that first part of the story, and you see all the trouble that Hannah was going through, we feel sorry for Hannah. We identify with her need and her difficulty and her position and her terrible circumstances and the provocation that was coming from this other woman, this other wife in the home. Very difficult, a very hurtful situation. And particularly hurtful when it came to the distribution of meat for the sacrifice. One for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. And gave to this wife all those for her children. And to this one, one only. Because you're only one. You're alone. And the other woman laughed and ridiculed at her misfortune. But there's another part to this phrase that disturbs us. Does it disturb you? The Lord had closed her womb. God has done it. God has engineered this circumstance. Now, yes, we feel sorry for Hannah, but at the same time, this is a disturbing factor. Particularly if we think that God is all good and just like a great father Christmas, always giving gifts to his people. And when he doesn't live up to that picture that we have, we are disturbed. And that's why we give up prayer. Because he doesn't fit our picture. Well, does this fit our picture? You mean the Lord had done this? And it's been going on for years and years and years? That's what it says. She was deeply distressed, brought to the pace of tears. Is there anything that can explain this? The suffering that is in the world? The suffering that comes to us? Christian people? People who are praying? Who are calling on God, who are believing in God, and we meet hardship and trouble. What is God doing? Could he be calling us into a ministry with him, with Jesus Christ? Jesus came and suffered for the world and for others. Is he calling us into a ministry of suffering? Just for the sake of suffering? No. For a wider and greater purpose. Yes, God arranges circumstances to drive us to prayer. But if we are praying in the will of God and for the heart of God and the mind of God, then we are in fellowship with God. And most of all, God wants us in that relationship and fellowship with Himself. That's why He created us and put us in this world. He wants fellowship with us. And to get that fellowship with us, He says, come on, let's work together. I want you to have the privilege of working with God, of being in partnership with God. Well, how does that work? Well, think about it. Hannah is in this time of suffering and need in her own heart, in her own life, and she is driven to prayer. But what's happening in the nation? The nation is turning from God. The nation is flaunting God. Eli the priest, we read later on, and his two sons are committing adultery and fornication right there at the temple with the women who come to worship at the temple. There is evil going on in this nation, and God does not like it. And God is hurt by it. And God is provoked by it. As these people wave their hand at God and say, we're doing fine. A rebellion is taking place in the people of God, in the hearts of people. Even if they are just ignoring God and leaving Him out and not praying. And that hurts and provokes God. And so what does God do? He says, I need someone into that situation to resolve the problem. I need a person. It's not yet time for Him to send His own Son into the world to be that greater person. But in the meantime, He wants a person that will serve Him and follow Him and turn the people back to God in association and partnership with God. And to get that person, He wants that person's mother. And so He places a like burden, a much smaller one, but a similar burden on her heart and in her family. So that she is driven to prayer, and her prayer for a son is in line with God's will to find a man to lead His people. He needs to find a woman that will come in her agony and prayer, her agony for the situation that exists, that will meet the agony that God is feeling for the wider situation that He sees in the country and situation. And so, there is suffering on believers to bring them into line with the heart of God so that together we might work in partnership with God in a small way to fulfill the great purposes of God in a bigger way. Isn't it a wonderful picture? It helps us to understand lots of things. About suffering, about hardship, about difficulties, about drawing us in prayer, about answering prayer. Is God listening to us? Maybe the question should be, are we listening to God? Are we listening to Him and to what He is saying and what is hurting God in our life, in our family, in our society? If so, we will start to pray for the will of God. I want to refer to one or two other verses just quickly to show us again some of this attitude of God in prayer. Back in Deuteronomy, an interesting book, an interesting volume in the teaching of Moses, I go back to Deuteronomy again and again. Particularly to understand the Old Testament and even also the New. But here, the children of Israel have been out traveling in the desert, and they've been coming from Egypt to the Promised Land. You know that story, I'm sure. And as they're coming along, they come to that point when the spies went into the Promised Land. And they came back, and 10 of them said, no, it's too difficult for us. We can't go in there. And 2 of them said, come on now, if we trust the Lord, we can do anything. We'll get in there. You see, trust has come into it. But the people voted these two out, and they sided with the majority. Sounds like good democracy, but it wasn't good in following God. Anyway, here they are. And they've said, no, we won't go. They've made the decision. So Moses goes in prayer to God and says, what are we going to do? And God says, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years before you get in there now. You're going to learn through hardship and suffering. Do you know what the people said? They said then, all right, we've sinned. We've made the wrong decision. We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord commanded us. And every man of you girded on his weapons of war and thought it easy to go up into the hill country. But the Lord said to Moses, say to them, don't go up and fight now, for I am not in the midst of you. You'll be defeated by your enemies. So I spoke to you, says Moses, and you would not listen, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord and were presumptuous and went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites, who lived in that hill country, came out against you and chased you like bees do, beat you down, and you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord did not hearken to your voice or give ear to you. See them like little children? No, we won't go there. It's too difficult. They didn't pray. They didn't ask God. They didn't trust God. No, we won't go. And then God says, right, 40 years for this. All right, we'll go then. So they take their swords and off they go. Again, they didn't ask God. Like petty little children. All right then, if that's what we have to do, we'll do it. Is that how we pray? Or we think of Christianity? Yes, I'll be good. I'll obey the Bible. But no. Sometimes we have an attitude like that. Just about the Word of God. What is it with us? And so he says, I'm not listening to you when you act like this. Oh yes, we may pray. We may call out. They wept. They returned and wept before the Lord. You know, it's not enough just to agonize in prayer. That's not enough. What's missing in that story was genuine repentance. Coming and saying, look, I'm sorry. I'm making a mess of things. Help me put that right first before I go into prayer. Another verse in Proverbs. He who closes his eyes to the cry of the poor will himself cry out and not be heard and not be answered. If we don't have care and compassion and consideration for other people, if we come in prayer or just in our lives, in selfishness, in self-absorption, self-interest, self-concerns, not concerned about others whose needs that we see, not concerned about poverty, not concerned about souls that are lost for eternity, we're only concerned about ourselves, then when we come and cry unto the Lord, we will not be heard. Here's another tip. Not self-concern. God is a God of compassion. God is a God of love. He wants to pour it out, but not to self-interested people. To people who are concerned for others, so that it will pass through them, so that his love might overflow them to others all around. That's the point there. And then another one in the Psalms. Here is someone who has something positive to say, which is nice. Come and hear, all you who fear the Lord, and I will tell you what God has done for me. A testimony, a word to share what God has done. God has answered their prayer. I cried aloud to him, and he was praised with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer. or removed his steadfast love from me. But if I had regarded iniquity, sin, in my heart, and kept it, and held on to it, and nurtured it, and hidden it away, justified my anger, been critical in spirit, if I had held on to those things, ignoring God, leaving him out, any of those things, then he will not hear my prayer. And the last verse that I have to share here with you just before we close is a special one for husbands, a personal one. Husbands, live considerately with your wives, bestowing honor on the woman as the weaker sex, since you are joint heirs of the grace of life, in order that your prayers might not be hindered. Consideration of others, honoring others, particularly in the family. It goes both ways. Yes, the word is to husbands, but it means all of us too. Consideration, so that prayers might not be hindered. Sometimes we can do all kinds of things. We can confess our sins. We can give to the poor. We can come and call upon God. We can pray for others and for missionaries and all the rest of it. And yet in our own homes and families, there's a lack of consideration, a lack of honor and respect. And again, our prayers are blocked. Listen to the word of God. Listen to God. Consider God's will, consider God's heart and concerns. Don't block his concerns out. Listen to his word. Don't be selfish, concerned only with your own interests. But we all must put others first, and their needs first, and start the work at home. Ask God, don't tell him, and grow in the practice of prayer to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. O Lord, may it sink in. May our prayers be heard as Hannah's were. O Lord, we don't want to go through all the hardship and suffering she went through just to understand this principle. But we want you to work in our lives so that we might learn to pray. Help us to be ready to confess our sin, our rejection of yourself, our lack of reading and studying your word, so that we might know your heart, your mind on these things. It's hard to understand suffering in the world and in our own homes and families, but help us to come through that in partnership with yourself, as you are calling us into that relationship. So hear our prayer and help us each one to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.